actual fuck is going on with this whole politics business?
The stuff about me paddleboarding, nonsense. The sea was actually closed. It was a red notice.
You just can't call it.
We will not be caught with no clothes on.
I've always been a completely normal UK taxpayer.
Russia should go away and should shut up.
That's a dodgy view.
And if you've been to Peppa Pig World, who's been to Pads? I've anyone who's been to Peppa Pig World.
In December, I'll be in Beijing, opening up new pork markets.
I mean, seriously, besties. What the actual fuck? Hiya, besties. It's me, Jennifer Wan. This is What the Actual Fuck is Going On With This Whole Politics Business. I have to tell you, shit is kind of getting real. It really does seem to me that there's a lot of delusion going on in Downing Street. And that is now having a drastic effect that I don't think that the Tories are equipped to handle. But we're going to get into it. We're going to get into everything that's been going on this week and all of the crazed ramifications that it will have over the coming weeks. Because, like I said, shit's about to get real and I don't think Rishi and the gang are ready for it. They wanted to know if we're ready for Rishi. No, I don't think that we are, because all Rishi seems to have to offer is chaos, which is funny because we were told we'd get that with Ed Miliband, but then we got it anyway. Interesting. Grab yourself a little drink, a little snack, get comfy and get cozy because we're about to get into it. So the government have been basically ignoring what's been happening with Michelle Mohn. If you haven't caught up, I did talk about it a few episodes back, and I've actually talked about her before on the show because she is chaotic and weird, and not in a good way. You know, like I love a bit of chaos, but like not like that. So Michelle Mohn is or was a Tory peer, who basically used her position in the House of Lords to lobby for companies to get PPE contracts and supply contracts during the COVID pandemic, knowing full well, I would imagine, that these companies could not provide the goods that were needed. And then she basically just got a ton of money out of it. So lobbying to get contracts for PPE that these companies she knew couldn't supply, she then mystically, magically, somehow, some way, is just sent millions and millions of pounds of our money. And we're supposed to believe that there's nothing suspicious going on, even though she's very blatantly a thief. So the UK government was very much trying to avoid the whole situation, even though there was a ton of press stories about it, even though the opposition were bringing it up at every turn. And it kind of all just exploded around Tuesday, because people were very angry at what was going on, which I think is natural. If some Tory peer just basically helps herself to a bunch of our money, especially at a time when we're being told nurses can't have fair wages, railway workers can't have fair wages, teachers can't have fair wages, paramedics can't have fair wages, we can't have any investment into infrastructure, we can't have decent housing, like we can't have any of that. But Michelle Mohn can have millions of pounds of money for seemingly no reason, and the UK government will make no effort to try and get it back. Like, of course, people are angry. So Tuesday, it was announced that Michelle Mohn was taking a leave of absence from the House of Lords. The fuck does that mean? People did a little digging and they realised that she hadn't actually voted in the House of Lords since April. So it's not exactly like she was doing anything there anyway. So her taking a leave of absence doesn't really mean anything. Like, she wasn't there anyway. Like, who cares? As Wednesday rolls around, it's, you know, it's then kind of agreed by everybody with a brain that Rishi Sunak is being weak on this issue. He won't go after that money to get it back. He won't punish her in any way. I mean, Christ, he wouldn't even remove the whip. He then spontaneously, randomly, during Prime Minister's questions, he then announces that they've removed the whip from Michelle Moan. As if it's something he should be proud of, which is interesting because what we're finding out is that this is something that the Conservative Party and the government would have been aware of for quite some time. Okay, so it was not a surprise. It was not a secret that she was up to all this, right? Especially because Rishi Sunak was literally the Chancellor at the time. Like, he's acting like he was some kind of innocent backbencher who had no idea any of this was going on. Oh, come the fuck on, mate. You were literally in the thick of it. Don't fucking lie. I mean, and I mean, like, in the metaphor, because I don't mean the TV show. Although, once again, that is what our lives feel like. So Rishi tries to play the innocent. Oh, you know, I was shocked to read about these things that happened. I was so surprised. And when I found out, I was really cross and I removed the whip. Oh, sure, Jan. Why lie? Why lie? Like, this is what winds me up about Rishi Sunak's administration in particular. After watching Liz Truss and Boris Johnson taken down by repeated lying, why is he then doing it? Like, what the fuck? Anyway, so it was later actually confirmed that Rishi Sunak did not remove the whip from Michelle Moan as some kind of punishment or because he felt that she had done something that warranted taking action. Oh, no, 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 no. It turns out she actually only lost the Tory whip by default, because that's what happens when you take a leave of absence from the House of Lords. You lose your party whip. So it wasn't even something that Rishi Sunak actually did. It's not that he felt he needed to take action on somebody that was basically stealing public money. It was just a thing that happens naturally because of how the Lords system works. It's not actually something that he did himself. He had the option to remove the whip. He had the option to have her suspended, all those things, to have her punished in some way. But he didn't want to. He didn't want to actually do anything. And I'm sorry, like, not to be a bitch about it, but I'm going to be a bitch. And actually, maybe I want to be. We cannot trust the Tories financially. Like, we just can't. Colin, there you go. I said the line. Because why would we? This is a party that knowingly just allows their members or their members' friends to just dip into the public finances, take our money, face no consequences, and then the Tories just never go to look for that money. There is potentially billions of pounds that have been lost through COVID fraud, and they won't go and try and get it back. And then they'll turn around to us and they'll say, oh, well, the company's, you know, we've got no money. The country's credit card is maxed out. We've got no money. We can't borrow anything. We've got nothing. We're going to have to make cutbacks. That means cuts at your kids' school. It means cuts at your local hospital. It means we're not going to be building any houses. Public transport costs are going to be cut. We are not going to be giving anyone a decent and fair pay rise, despite the fact that we're all living through a cost of living crisis, which means that the amount of money you're getting now is just not going to cut it. And we're being told, right? We are being told that we can't have anything. we can't have better wages, we can't have houses, we can't have better services, we can't have anything. But Michelle Moan, she can just have millions of pounds of our money. And nothing happens. Absolutely not. No. That's clownery. That's absolute clownery. And Rishi Sunak is currently to blame because he has the power to do something. He has the power to go after people like Michelle Moan, the scammers, the liars, the thieves. He has the opportunity, he has the power to go after them and get our money back, but he won't. He didn't even want to take the whip away from her. It just happened by default. He won't even do that. He won't even do like the tiniest little thing. It's absolutely pathetic. And for that man to stand there and say, oh, you can't trust other parties on the economy. Bitch, I can't trust you. I can't trust you on the economy. I can't trust you with nothing. You associate with liars and with thieves. Look at you. Look at the state of you. You won't even go and get our money back that you allowed to be stolen. I can't trust you, mate. I won't trust you because I'm not a fool. It's just fucked up to me because we've got a situation where there are kids that are going to school hungry. There are people that are really struggling. They're having to live in temporary housing, in B&Bs and shit, because there's not any suitable available housing to them. They are really struggling. There are nurses having to use food banks. There are railway workers who are having to use food banks. The people that literally keep this mad little island going. The people that we should be treating with respect. And in my opinion, respect means making sure someone doesn't have to suffer like that. There are firefighters. Firefighters, people who literally run into burning buildings to save us, that are struggling. And this government will turn around and say, oh, I'm sorry, we can't do anything for you. Oh, but they can do something for Michelle Moan. Yeah, they can sort her right out. They can give her whatever she needs. Hey, Michelle, you need millions of pounds? We got you, girl. Don't you worry about it. It's absolute madness. Absolute madness. So, speaking of striking workers, because that's been a big theme this week, as it probably will for the foreseeable, actually, because, you know, as it all turns out, if you treat multiple workforces across your nation like shit, they will just continue to strike. They will do that. So it was exposed this week that the Transport Secretary sort of accidentally spilled a little bit. So he was being questioned in a select committee, and the accusation was made that the government intervened at the last minute to basically screw up a deal between the transport companies and the rail workers. So the transport companies and the rail workers were being adults. They were being grown-ups, right? And so the government then pushes their way in, all secret-like, and they basically force a driver-only operation clause into negotiations. They fuck up the deal that was originally being made on the table to make the deal incredibly unattractive, so that obviously the unions are going to look at that and they're going to say, absolutely not. So as it all turns out, this government that's been going on about how everybody is causing disruption, blah, 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 they deliberately walked in, fucked up any chance of a deal, and have created the disruption. And you know what's even worse? They've literally done it again this week. So unbelievable. So unions that represent healthcare staff, so nurses, ambulance workers, doctors and stuff like that, they actually reached out and they said that they would pause the strikes that are going to affect the NHS in a couple of weeks if the government would agree to meet with them. They were not saying that, you know, they weren't, I mean, that's not a crazy demand, I don't think. They weren't saying, you know, you have to agree to this and that and this and that. They were just saying, if you just sit down with us, if you just have the respect to come to the table, we're not putting any huge conditions on this. We're not saying you have to agree to a ton of stuff for this to happen. We're just saying we will pause the strike action if you come and you meet with us. We can stop this disruption. We can sit down and we can talk. Right? They were literally offering a way to avoid the strikes. The unions were literally saying, look, if you just come and you just talk to us, those strikes, they might not happen. We'll have the opportunity to speak to our members if we can say, you know, that we're sitting down and we're talking with the government, there is an opportunity to avoid those strikes altogether, at the very least, to put them off into the future. What do you think? Now, the smart option, in fact, it doesn't even have to be the smart option, just the option that, just the only option, in my opinion, is to say, okay, because it literally costs you nothing. It costs you nothing just to sit down and say, all right, let's have a conversation. Let's see what the situation is. Now, the government, if they go to those talks, they can still walk away and they can say, well, you know what? I've listened to what you've got to say. I'm still not really convinced. We're not ready to do a deal. Now, that would be shit. That would be a shit thing to do. But at the very least, it would avoid the current strike issue. And it would show willingness. Well, really weak willingness, but willingness nonetheless. But the point is, this strike that is going to cause a ton of disruption, the government is literally being handed a solution on a fucking silver plate. And they still turn around and say no. So the unions say to them, we will pause the strikes. All you have to do is get in the room with us. That's all. But it was confirmed this weekend that the government has absolutely no intention of even meeting the unions to discuss anything. The unions are offering to pause the strikes. All they want is a meeting. They're not putting any commands on it. They're not putting any conditions on it. It's literally just, please meet with us and we will pause the strikes, which is incredibly generous of the unions. Incredibly generous, because they really are the ones with the power here, you know. But the government is so deluded. They're so fucking deluded that they won't even consider it. They will not actually just get in the room, act like grown-ups. It's abso-fucking-lutely pathetic. So when the rail workers are trying to negotiate with transport companies, the government just swoops in and fucks it up for no reason. When healthcare workers are just trying to get a meeting and they're saying, look, we'll pause the strikes if you just meet with us, they can't even do that correctly. So when the government stands up and tells you that the unions are the ones causing disruption, or the workers are the ones, or the fucking Labour Party, or the Green Party, or the SNP, or the Liberals, or whatever. No, the only people that are still causing disruption when it comes to these strikes is the UK government. It's the Conservative Party. They are the ones that seemingly do not have the common fucking sense to wake up and see what the situation is. They cannot just avoid this. They can't just ignore what's happening, and yet they keep trying to, and it's ridiculous, and it's almost childish. It's like, do you really think if you just put your fingers in your ears and say la 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 la, I don't care, like, it's, the strikes are still gonna happen, dickhead. You've got to grow up. This is so ridiculous. And it's so embarrassing that we currently have a government with the maturity of a 5-year-old. This shit is so embarrassing, man. So Matt Hancock and all his big promises of all the great things he was going to do when he got back from the I'm a Celebrity jungle. Well, let's have a look at what's been going on. So firstly, it's been reported that Matt Hancock might only donate a fraction of his reported earnings from I'm a Celebrity to charity. So, scammer. I mean, he should be donating all of it, because obviously he would have been paid for his role as an MP while he was there as well. And also, he's not a fucking celebrity, but he's keeping quite a bit of it, and only a little tiny bit is going to charity. Who's surprised? Not me. He's also he announced that he was resigning as an MP. He tried to make it seem as if, you know, it's something that he wants to do, and, you know, he just feels it's the right path for him, and he can engage with people better when he's not an MP. Liar. So it turns out that his Conservative Association, the local Conservative Association, basically said that they did not back him. They don't want him back. They don't want to support him for re-election. They don't want nothing to do with him. So a letter was sent to the chief whip. And this is what it said. I have been instructed by the officers group of West Suffolk Conservatives Association to write to you and advise you of the following. At an officers group meeting held on the 30th of November 2022, a vote was taken that ruled that the officer group have no confidence in Matt Hancock, our sitting MP, and we would request that the whip is not restored to him. The vote was brought about following feedback from the constituents in West Suffolk, advising that by virtue of recent events, they consider Matt Hancock not fit to represent this constituency. They don't want him back. They don't want nothing to fucking do with him. They don't, it's not that he stood down of his own volition. Mm-mm-mm-mm. He wasn't even jumping before he was pushed, because they already pushed him and he's fallen off and he's like, oh no, this is my own decision. This is definitely something I wanted for myself. Liar, scammer. I don't blame them for not wanting him back. I would imagine that the Tories may have a bit of a difficult time retaining the seat at the next election anyway, just because of the fact that everything Matt Hancock has done will probably stick in people's minds, and they're going to think, well, how can we trust the Tories when they inflicted Matt Hancock on us? Like, you know, anyway, so his big attempt to become a celebrity is now all he's got left, because he's not going to be able to go back to politics as a career. And as I've said before, Matt Hancock is not attractive. He doesn't have a good personality. He's not interesting. He's not talented in any regard. So he's going to struggle crossing over into becoming a public figure and a celebrity. I would imagine he might get a few roles as a novelty, you know, maybe some spots on reality shows, you know, popping up as a talking head on something, maybe a little bit of a column, but I don't see it lasting very long. So the key here is, if we just keep ignoring him, he will go away, which is good news, I feel. Not good news? Well, let's talk about unpaid labour. So it was much talked about on Twitter this week. Many people were discussing this issue, and rightly so. The Minister for Disabled People announced on Twitter that there was a search on. The government is seeking to appoint a disability access ambassador for the creative industries. Interesting. It's a good idea. However, it's a voluntary position. So they are asking disabled people to come forward to do all of this work for free. Oh, no, bitch. Absolutely not. The fact is, this work should already... It should have already happened, really. And it's deeply unfair and frankly disgusting to ask for disabled creatives to come forward and do this work for free. Absolutely not. But what do you expect from the Tories? What do you expect? Many people pointed out that disability access in any industry is the law. It should already be happening. And that it's deeply unfair that when it comes to access for disabled people across many industries, disabled people are having to step in and encourage this and do all of the work. And now the government is asking them to do all of that work for free. It's just so gross, so disgusting. I wish I could say I was surprised, but I'm really not. Being part of the creative industries myself, I suppose, in a sense. One of the things that is very apparent to me is a lack of accessibility. And there are a number of people that have no interest in changing that unless, you know, disabled people come in and do the work for them. Again, they're asking for it for free. So for the government to join in on trying to exploit people in this way is disgusting to me. Also disgusting, Dominic Raab. Can't stand him. Can't stand this puta. So Dominic Raab, it's been reported this week that he refused to review documents in formats he did not like during the evacuation of Afghanistan. And as a result of this, people died during those evacuations. So a Ministry of Justice official spoke to The Guardian about it, and said that it all came to light during a meeting where they were discussing the performance of Dominic Raab and his office. And they said this: one deputy director relayed the extraordinary information that when Raab was at the Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office, people had died when advice pertaining to the evacuation of Afghanistan had been delayed because he didn't like the formatting. So this bitch is delaying important information because he doesn't like the way that the document looks. It was also reported previously that he had refused to speak to Foreign Office staff that he viewed as time wasters, and that that also caused disruption during the evacuation. So people died because Dominic Raab basically could not be asked to do his job and came up with petty and stupid excuses such as, I don't like how this document looks, and I don't want to speak to you because I don't actually understand the importance of what it is you do. And again, this is a guy that Rishi Sunak is happy to support. This is a guy that has Rishi Sunak's confidence, which again, in my opinion, so, oh, sorry, I'm cooking my dinner at the same time. And part of my dinner is like, hey, girl, I'm cooked. Hey. Anyway, yes. So Dominic Raab is somebody that Rishi Sunak believes is suitable to be in government. He's still also got Suella Braverman, who... Oh, my God. I mean, we know what the situation is there. It's just absolutely insane. Rishi Sunak, one of his biggest weaknesses is just appalling standards. He has no standards, and he will seemingly just allow anybody, just anybody at all, to be part of his government, and it's ridiculous and disgusting. I'd like to tell you that I'm surprised, but I'm not, because I don't think that Rishi Sunak is suitable for government either. And yet here we are. So, Dominic Raab is not the Conservative Party's only problem. They've also got a bit of a conflict going on right now, because it's been reported that the Conservative Party plans to raise their membership fees by 56% following a slump in donations. And even their own MPs are not happy about it. Justin Tomlinson, Conservative MP, tweeted, "Absolutely stupid idea. If the party needs to balance the books to stop wasting millions on polling and research telling us the blinding obvious, money should be spent on campaigning and membership organisation, not a difficult concept." Oh. Oh, yikes. I mean, if I were a Tory, I wouldn't really feel that I'm getting my money's worth, but I'm not a Tory, so, you know. The Tories are also facing a couple of issues within themselves. There is a new organisation that's been set up called Conservative Democratic Organisation, and apparently it has the backing of Priti Patel, former Home Secretary and insane movie villain, it seems. And one of their richest donors. The plan is for this organisation to allow members to take back control of the party. Okay. So apparently the reason that they have done this is because they do not agree with how Rishi Sunak became Prime Minister. They do not respect the result of that Conservative Party leadership contest. And I guess they'd like another crack at it, because they have a problem with the fact that party members were not balloted when it came to Rishi Sunak. Okay. All right. I love a bit of chaos. Whatever. It kind of gives me Momentum vibes. So Momentum was an organisation within the Labour Party that, again, the whole aim was to give more control to the members. And I mean, for a time they achieved that, but it didn't lead to electoral success. So I don't know how this will go with the Tories. It's kind of difficult to make an assessment, I guess. But we'll see. We will see what happens and what goes on in the chaotic Tory party. God help us. So as I've mentioned, there's quite a lot going on in the UK. Quite a lot of increasing poverty, deprivation. There's a ton of strikes because the workers are suffering. There are huge issues going on. But what does Tory MP Bob Seeley believe is the most pressing issue right now? Well, I'll tell you. It's Harry and Meghan. Okay. So, right now, everybody is talking about Harry and Meghan while also saying that they don't care about them and that they're attention-seeking, which is weird. So, what's the situation? So, a few years back, Prince Harry married Meghan Markle. Meghan then becomes the Duchess of Sussex. I don't care about the monarchy, as I've said many times. However, I do have to say I got a little kick out of seeing a biracial girl becoming a princess, because I am a biracial girl, and in my mind I am a princess. But like, I'm like a benevolent princess. Like, I don't make people pay for my shit and, you know, stuff like that. But anyway, so I thought it was kind of cool, I guess, but I wasn't that bothered. However, a ton of people in the UK were bothered, despite also saying that, you know, oh, we don't have a problem, you know, with you know, race and stuff. It's just, we just don't like her for other reasons. And so it became a whole thing. There was a huge increase in racial attacks of Meghan and then later of their children. And there was a lot of press scrutiny on Meghan that was not applied to anybody else in the royal family. There was a really interesting article that was done a while back, where they basically showed that a ton of things that Meghan was criticised for in the press, Kate Middleton had already done and had been praised for. But for some reason, when Meghan did it, it was a problem. I wonder why that was. So Harry decided, I'm leaving the royal family because everyone is coming for my wife and kids and I don't fucking like it. So off he goes. That became a whole thing. And then that kind of brings us to now. So Meghan and Harry did a documentary series on Netflix. I haven't watched it yet. I don't even know if I will watch it because, I mean, I'm not super interested, but a lot of people are super interested. It apparently broke streaming records on Netflix. Bizarrely, on the day that it was released, I was it was about 8 o'clock in the morning, and I suddenly had a ton of push notifications from all the news apps on my phone because they were all running live blogs on a Netflix documentary. See, this is the weird thing. Everyone runs around saying, Harry and Meghan, they're always attention seeking. We don't care about them. Why won't they go away? And it's like, oh, I don't know. Perhaps the problem is the fact that you obsessively go through everything they do and you talk about it nonstop. Have you ever considered that perhaps the problem is you? But nobody considers that, of course. So they've done this little documentary. People are losing their shit over it. I mean, like I said, I haven't seen it, but what I have seen people getting angry about is a bit, it's very tame. Like, one of the clips everyone's really fucking annoyed about is Meghan was, she's talking to the camera. She's basically talking about how she felt stupid when she met the Queen, and she curtsied, and she's trying to remember all the things you've got to do when you meet the Queen or something. And she felt a bit, you know, embarrassed because she didn't know if she was doing it right. She felt a bit silly because, you know, she's meeting her, you know, her boyfriend's grandma, and she's got all these protocols she's got to remember, which I think if people are being honest with themselves, they'd probably feel the same. If I was meeting someone's grandma for the first time and I had to remember, okay, I've got to curtsy, maybe I'm not supposed to look her in the eye directly the first time, like I've got to remember to call her like Her Majesty and all this, I feel a bit embarrassed and weird about it too. When people meet my grandma, they don't have to put on any fucking airs and graces. Like, they just say hello, because that's the normal way that you greet someone's grandma for the first time. But if you're in a situation where you've got all this other shit to remember, it's going to feel embarrassing. It's going to feel awkward and weird. She's just laughing at a ridiculous situation that occurred in her life. And there are people that are acting like she literally and personally murdered the Queen. It's insane. Like, the hysteria is embarrassing. So Bob Seeley has decided that this is an issue he really, really wants to take on. And he has accused Prince Harry and Meghan. I have to be real with you. I don't know that I'm using the correct terminology here because I don't care about the monarchy, so I don't keep up with what's going on. But, You know who I'm talking about. So he's accusing them of attacking the monarchy, and he has called it a political issue. And he said that he is considering bringing forward a private members bill in the new year that, if passed, would have a vote on... on downgrading Harry and Meghan's royal status. I promise you they don't care. Like, they've literally left the royal family. And to be honest with you, the only reason that Harry and Meghan are probably still talking about all this is because people keep asking them, despite saying that they don't care. Everybody is like, oh, I don't care about them. Oh, blah, blah, blah. But you keep asking them for details. You keep asking them what happened. You keep offering them all this shit. You know, please come and talk about this. Please come and say that. Anyway. I will tell you right now why Bob Seeley thinks that this is an important issue. I'll tell you. It is because... he knows that his government, the party that he is a member of that is in government, is failing the UK right now. There is rising deprivation, rising poverty. There are huge issues. The workforce is angry. They're upset, quite rightly. Tory peers are just stealing public money and the government's letting them get away with it. There are kids going to schools that do not have the resources to give them a good education, and that's not the teacher's fault. It's literally because of underfunding. Hospitals are in a right state. And again, that's not the fault of the doctors, the nurses, the administrators, the healthcare assistants, the domestic staff. No. It's because of underfunding. People are waiting hours and hours for ambulances, and that's not the paramedics' fault. It's underfunding. And where is that all sourced back to? All roads lead back to the Tories. And so the Tories need a distraction. And what better distraction than screaming at Harry and Meghan? It's very obvious to me, because... this is not the first time that Harry and Meghan have done some kind of documentary or interview or something that has been talked about a lot. When Harry and Meghan did an interview with Oprah, which had the famous, "Were you silent or were you silenced?" quote, which I think about all the time. It's hilarious. But you did not see Tory MPs acting this unhinged during that interview. That didn't happen. Like, they, you know, some of them were a bit angry and pissed off, but they weren't threatening to bring forth legislation about it. They weren't threatening to waste the House's time on this issue about it. So I can only conclude that this is literally an attempt to distract from the absolute fucking state that the Tories have driven the UK too, at this present moment of time. It's unhinged behaviour that is literally aimed to try and distract us from what they have done. It's absolutely pathetic. We have way bigger problems than... In fact, I wouldn't even consider Harry and Meghan doing a Netflix documentary to be a problem, actually. Like, I don't care. Good for them, and good for anyone who wants to watch it, I guess. Like, me, I'm worried about the fact that kids are not getting a decent shot in life because of the government. I'm worried about the fact that that our hardworking healthcare staff are having to go to food banks. That's what I'm worried about. And it would be nice if MPs in the governing party could get their shit together and worry about the same things. So support for Scottish independence has now risen to 56% following the Supreme Court ruling. As it all turns out, making it very apparent that the union is in fact not voluntary may not have been the best thing for the UK government. But it certainly will be a good thing for democracy. So that's interesting. We'll see what happens there. There was also polling released that was Scotland specific that showed that pro-independence parties certainly will get that majority that they keep being told that they need to consider Scottish independence. So again, I'm thinking perhaps the UK government, if they had any sense, which unfortunately we know they don't, or fortunately, depending on how you view things, they just haven't thought this through. They really haven't. And neither did Conservative MP Vicky Ford, who was speaking on Politics Live on the BBC. And she said that Scotland never says thank you for the money that's given, for Scotland's budget every year. So according to her, Scotland should be very, very grateful to receive this money. This money that is actually their own money given back to them effectively. Because where does that money come from? Well, it comes from taxes and tax income and stuff like that. Oh, I'm sorry. Does Scotland not actually contribute anything to that? And what's interesting as well is that many times it's been shown that actually Scotland puts in a lot more than it gets back. So are they supposed to thank you for not giving them all of the money that they contribute? Is that what they're meant to do? Go, not my Alexa joining in. Go, be quiet. Oh my God, I can't get her to shut up. Hang on. Alexa, go, Alexa, shut up. Go, don't look at me like that. Oh, she's mad now. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yes. Are they supposed to thank you for not even giving them all of the money that they gave you? Fuck off. Fuck off. Thank you for what? It's their own money. Insanity. Literally. Thank you for what, darling? For what? Like I said, delusion. Literal delusion non-stop from the UK government, from the Conservative Party. It never ends, seemingly. It never ends. And also ignorance about climate change. So the UK has decided climate change, don't know her. So at the COP26 conference, the UK government campaigned to consign coal to history, but they've now approved a new coal mine. Oh, make it make sense. Make it make fucking sense. This shit is so dumb. Especially as there are parts of the UK that are really genuinely innovating when it comes to energy production. This is just... It's just stupid. It's just stupid. Like, I'm sorry, but it is. Speaking of just stupid, let's talk about former Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng, who said this week that he got carried away as Chancellor. Well, that's great, darling. That's great. You got carried away. Okay, well, so did the fucking economy, mate. And, you know, people lost money because of that. People were thrown into poverty because of that. People lost money on their pensions. People's mortgages went up. People really struggled because of your fucking dumb decision. You want to talk about it playfully? Oh, I got a bit carried away. Fuck off. Literally, fuck off. Fuck off. What an idiot, honestly. And it again, it's kind of delusional behaviour because... This man is acting like it's a fun little anecdote. Oh, I got a bit carried away and I crashed the economy. Fuck off. That's not actually funny, mate. And it's not cute. Are you trying to be adorable right now? Because it's not working. You're sickening. But like, not in a fun camp way, but like in a disgusting abomination way. Like, Jesus, man. Oh, disgusting. Let's talk a little bit more about... I don't know that I would call this stupidity. I'd maybe call it arrogance, perhaps. So there was an event held by a campaign group that seeks to abolish the Year 6 SATs exams. Now, I remember taking my Year 6 SATs, and I don't remember how I did, and I don't know what impact it had on my life. I genuinely don't know. However, there are concerns that these exams put a lot of pressure on young kids. These are kids that are like 10, 11 years old having to sit exams. And there are concerns that, you know, these tests and these exams are putting a lot of pressure on kids where they don't need it, you know. So there was an event held by this campaign group, More Than a Score, who invited politicians to come and sit these exams. And it turned out that only 44% of the group of politicians that sat the exams at this event achieved the expected standard in maths. And only 50% achieved the standard in spelling, punctuation, and grammar. Interesting. So these are the standards to which we judge 10-year-old children, and yet grown adults cannot live up to these standards. Interesting. Perhaps we're putting too much pressure on the kids then. I mean, way to just prove the campaign group completely right. They kind of did that. I'm just saying. Speaking of campaign groups, now I've talked about this this lady before. So we are about to talk about Kelly J. Keene. So Kelly J. Keene is a gender critical activist and leads a group called Standing for Women. And she made a whole thing about how she was going to stand for election against Eddie Izzard because she objected to the idea of a trans woman standing for office, I guess. Anyway, so that's not happening now because Eddie Izzard was not selected to contest the Sheffield Central seat. So Kelly J. Keene has moved on from that, and she has decided that she will be running in Keir Starmer's seat instead. Wherever it doesn't matter, she just wants to stand. She just wants to stand. It's in the name of the group. I don't know. So she has decided that she wants to stand for election and run against Keir Starmer. Okay. Fuck's sake. I mean, my criticisms are pretty much the same as they were before, in that I don't really agree with people being parachuted into seats. So I don't agree that it's right for her to stand in a place that she doesn't live. That being said, I don't actually know where she lives. And it's not really my business to know. But still, it does seem that this is more about Keir Starmer than her care about the local community. I believe anybody has a right to stand for office if they want to. I just think that it should be... it should be in a way that's mindful of the local community and what's best for the people, rather than your own self-interest and your own obsessions with yourself. And to me, this whole thing, both attempts by Kelly J. Keene to stand for public office, do seem to be entirely rooted in disliking... you know, the I think one of the things that really fuels her campaign is self-ID laws. As far as I know, I haven't done a ton of research into her, obviously, but I think that's something she talks about a lot. And so she's going after people connected to that in her mind that are connected to that. So I don't think that running against Keir Starmer is something that she would be doing in good faith, and I don't think it's for the betterment of that local community. So again, I'm not really vibing with it, but she's going to do what she's going to do. But she's probably not going to win, so I mean, I guess in a sense it doesn't really matter, but it does seem a bit disrespectful to those local people who do deserve a good spread of candidates that are local and care about local issues and the things that affect them, specifically as a community. And so I sort of automatically don't really vibe with it, but people are going to do what they're going to do. I guess we'll see what happens. And it'll be interesting to see the reaction if she only gets like 500 votes or something, I guess. That'd be kind of interesting to watch. So this week, Julian Knight, a Conservative MP, had the whip suspended after a complaint was made to the police in regards to him. It was a bit difficult because we haven't been given a ton of information in regards to the situation, to what's gone on. I guess it's something currently ongoing. All the information that we have is that apparently it was an allegation of sexual assault. And I have to say, and I feel like I am saying this forever, but maybe that's because it needs to be said. It is terrifying how common this is. It should not be the case that there are so many members of parliament that are facing these allegations. As I've said, it's not easy to get the police to take you seriously, to get an investigation underway, to get to a point where somebody is taken seriously when they go to the police, to get to a point where someone is charged, all that kind of stuff. It takes a lot, because there are still, and I know some people don't want to hear this, but it's the truth. There are institutional problems within the police. There are a number of people within the police who basically just, they don't take this sort of thing seriously. They don't care about what happens to people. You know, there are some police officers that view, you know, sexual assaults and things like that as the fault of the victim. It's very hard to get sexual crime taken seriously. So when you reach a point where, you know, where an MP is, you know, in this situation, it's very likely that a lot has gone into getting to that point. And for this to have happened as often as it has, just over the last year, there are so many members of parliament that are involved in situations like this. And it's terrifying, because these are people that are, for their communities, they are a lifeline. They're somebody you're supposed to be able to trust, to be able to go to for help. How is it the case that so many of them are are potentially sex offenders. You know, and you have to wonder, because obviously I've talked quite a bit and it's quite obvious that there are huge problems with, you know, complaint procedures in political parties. There is enabling going on as well. You have to wonder, is this police report the first that the Conservative Party is hearing of this? Did they perhaps have, you know, people coming forward before and they ignored it and they've only taken action now that the police have basically forced their hand? And I know that some people might see that as an unfair question, but I'm sorry, it's not. We have a ton of evidence available to us that shows that, and it's not just the Conservative Party, it seems to be a cross-party issue, that there is a lot of enabling of sex offenders going on. You know, and I will call them sex offenders because, you know, there is many attempts to coddle people like this. You know, oh, it's just a bit of harassment. Oh, it's just touching a little, and you know, it's not that bad. Well, yeah, it is, actually, to the victims, to the people that are made unsafe by this kind of behaviour. Yeah, it is actually that bad. And I don't think it helps anybody to coddle these people and to act like it's normal to watch porn in your workplace, or to you know, to touch people without their consent, or to corner young staffers at the bar and try and touch them and kiss them. That's not normal, and it's not acceptable, and it's hugely damaging to the victims of these assaults, of these attacks, this harassment. And I am not interested in protecting the feelings of people that engage in this behaviour. And I don't think anybody should be. So we'll have to see what happens with this, because currently we don't have a ton of information beyond that there has been a complaint of sexual assault. So, you know, obviously I can't say, you know, what has happened, and I can't say what the situation is, but what I can say is that it should be concerning a lot more people than it seems to be, that this is a repeated issue, because this is not a normal landscape. This should not be happening, and yet it is. Okay, besties, that's all for this week, but I will catch you again next week for more of this. Love you, bye. Thanks for listening, bestie. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I will see you again next time for a new episode of What the Actual Fuck Is Going On With This Whole Politics Business.
Stuff about me paddleboarding, nonsense. The sea was actually closed. It was a red notice.
You just can't call it.
We will not be caught with no clothes on.
I've always been a completely normal UK taxpayer.
Russia should go away. It should shut up.
That's a dodgy view.
And if you've been to Peppa Pig World, who's been to Panzai? Anyone who's been to Peppa Pig World?
In December, I'll be in Beijing, opening up new pork markets.
I mean, seriously. What the actual fuck? Love you, bye.